2 Samuel chapter 21, we're going to be in the first 14 verses, verses 1 through 14. Let me read this to you. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired or sought the face of the Lord at that time, and the Lord answered. And this is what he said. It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites, David, and said unto them, Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them that they wouldn't hurt them. This goes back to Joshua and Caleb when they were going in and conquering the land. They made a pact with them. If you'll serve us forever, our house has peace, you'll have peace. But it says here, but Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and to Judah. He was showing off, and so he kills a bunch of people. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver or gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And David said, What shall you say, and that will I do for you? And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, Saul, and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. He was just going to wipe them out. Let 7 men of Saul's sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up in the Lord, unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, and Methothite. And he, David, delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. That would be April. And Rizpah, remember, she had 2 sons that were slain. The daughter of Ai took sackcloth and spread it for her upon a rock. She made like a little tent of some sort. From the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. That would be October. 7 months, these men hung on a hill. And until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David that Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, what she had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his sons, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the streets of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up them up from the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his sons, And they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan and his son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah in the sepulcher of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. So then it started to rain once more. So his anger was appeased, apparently is what he's saying there. But I think we can, by God's good grace, we can surely see the gospel of the Son of God laid bare before us. And we're going to look at that. Let us note this wonder of wonders as it is seen in this Old Testament story. Excuse me. Get some water here. Can't help it. Yeah. Okay, so, but then we're going to look at another lesson before us this morning. So the first thing we see is this picture of the gospel, but we're going to just go over this just to kind of how it's worded. We see a famine in verse 1, we see a curse, and we see the verdict. So in verse 1, There's no question. There's a famine in the land. It's 3 years. David inquires of the Lord, and the Lord says it's because of Saul. He broke that truce. So there's the famine. Then there's the curse, 3 years. And upon proceeding with this chapter, we notice right off that there's a famine, and there is a curse upon the land, and we're not left to our own understanding of why. It's like it says in verse 1, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. They weren't Israelites. They were not brethren, but they were friends of Israel, so to speak. So this is why this is going on. And yet also in verse 1, we know that God has caused or set up this famine because of sin. Because of sin. He set this up because of what was going on. Now, David, having a good and proper knowledge of the Lord and his dealings with sinners, with himself, as he sets forward to remedy it. And so he goes to the Gibeonites as a wise king, and he lets them decide. And the Gibeonites, they're impressive as well. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for restitution. They didn't ask for any of that. They said, you take 7 sons of Saul and give them to us. We're going to go up on a hill and we're going to hang them. We're going to hang them. So that's the remedy. And we're going to leave them there. But now this is where the story gets a little bit strange, a little bit oddity in this, this truth, this whole truth, this lesson set forth in this history lesson of Israel. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And verse 22 and 23. And if, now these are just varying laws of the economy of the Israelites. And the Lord states, if a man hath committed a sin worthy of death, he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. That's what you're supposed to do. So they did that. Here's where the difference comes in. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. They were supposed to be hung, but then taken down. In our story, they're there from the beginning of barley harvest, which we said it was April, until the rain, and that's October. They're hanging there for 7 months. So something's not jiving. And he says in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 3, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So there's the curse. They're hanging on a tree. And he says it, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. So to leave these bodies, these seven souls, these seven sons of Saul, up until the rainy season, and that's 7 months, is contrary to the law of God. And when these bodies were taken down, once it started to rain, the bones were buried, it's clearly said that God was entreated. That word entreated is that he was interceded. He was interceded, entreated. The penalty, the curse was over. They were taken down. So basically what we have is these six things. These seven men did no crime. They didn't kill. Saul did. Their daddy did. Okay. Other than their association or relations, the relation to Saul, they did no crime. Saul was the murderer. Okay. Their shame, secondly, was for all to see. He that is hanged is accursed. So they were pronounced a curse. Put it on the hill. It's for all to see. Thirdly, these seven men were indeed cursed. They were, as it were, hanging between heaven and earth, were not buried, and so their shame or their curse, as he says in Galatians, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. And fourthly, this death was a horrible way to die, to be hung. Fifthly, the rain was considered an answer from the Lord. Once it rained, then it says it was entreated. He was entreated. David got him, buried the bones of Saul, Jonathan, and these seven men. That saying that God was not angry, was not wrathful anymore is what that says. Sixthly, David buries all the men's bones as was the biblical warrant. He buries them properly. Now, let us behold our blessed Lord's crucifixion. His crucifixion. Here's the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, unwanted, cursed, yet he himself did no sin, could not sin, the scripture says was holy, harmless, and undefiled. But because of his relation, association with us, who were the real criminals, culprits, the true wretches, were complete sinners. Christ did no sin. There was no sin found on him, yet he was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Isaiah 53, God says God killed his own sons. The Lord put him to grief for us. The Lord bruised his own son. And we go free. We go free never to experience the wrath or anger of God that's really due you and I. Brethren, can we not see the Lamb of God become a curse for us? They found no fault in him. He was gentle, loving, kind to those whom he created, to those whom he loved, and those whom he loved, he bled and died. Now, this word cursed in Galatians chapter 3, I think it's verse 13, the word cursed means execration or means an angry denouncement. The word accursed in Deuteronomy 21 means vilification or condemned or to slander or to revile. Now these expanded definitions, Jesus Christ underwent all for his people. He was cursed and he was accursed. He underwent slander and reviling as he hung on the cross. He was spat upon. He was whipped. He was martyred. They thrust a crown of thorns upon his head. He saved others. He can't save himself. Mocking. This is all part of the curse, being accursed. And his father forsook him, punished him, and set his wrath fully upon him. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, when I get into these type of things and these type of questions and these thoughts, I cannot accurately describe or bring us to understand what's going on in the cross. I think that's one area that we will spend eternity seeing and understanding more fully what exactly happened when Christ was made a curse for us. The sons that hung on the sons that were murdered or were killed, they didn't do anything. They just had an association with their dad. Christ had no sin. We are the guilty ones. Everyone in this room is guilty of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I understand and I ask that the Holy Spirit, only He can place these real, sincere, heartbreaking truths in our core. The heart that He must produce and make anew within us. Ezekiel 36. A new heart I give you. You can't save yourself. You can't undo the curse. This has been done in our text. This is done. This has really happened. We can't really sin in the garden. It really happened. All you have to do is walk out that door. No, you have to walk out that door. Like Tim said, this is a hospital. This place right here, this church is a hospital for those who are sick. But you walk out, and people aren't sick. They're not that sinful. But that's because they err and they compare themselves to other people. They don't compare themselves to the immaculate one, the perfect one. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. The scripture says we're all guilty and condemned. But Christ hung on that tree. He became a curse for us. The only answer, Godward, in the charge of sin against us is a crucified Christ. That's the only answer that we can have, is a crucified Christ. And that was done by God for us. And isn't it marvelous in our eyes? And I ask you this, is it marvelous in your eyes? Every time we gather together, every time this book is opened, it should be. Now the flesh is not like the flesh. It's like old Maurice used to say, if you're tired and you can't sleep, open a Bible and start to read it and you'll go to sleep. Why? Because our nature is not, it's just our nature. Now, I have one more point, and I'm glad you're all sitting here listening, you're quiet. This point is one that I'm afraid my toes and your toes may perhaps get stepped on, because it stepped on mine this was the main point. I thought, and I got to looking at it, I thought, no, there's gospels in there. So you got to definitely preach the gospel, because that's how God saves, is by hearing the gospel. It's not by reading, somebody's thoughts about the Bible. It's by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But let us look at this second point. And I'm going to read, because this is said so much better than I can. It's found in verse 10. It's found in verse 10. Look at it with me. And Rizpah, the mother of two of the seven sons. Remember, she had two sons and they got taken from her and hung on a tree. They got hanged. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock. She was going to stay there for a while. So she's kind of making a little tent, as flimsy as it could be. From the beginning of the harvest, April, until water dropped upon them out of heaven, that's October. Now, some writers say, oh, there's no way, this and that. I'm like, I'm just going to read what the scripture says. I'm not going to mess with it. Because some writers, whom I highly esteem, I think by messing with it, they take the import of the text out. So whether she stayed there and said, oh, well, it rained sometimes and this, and then she did this and did that, whether that's the case or not, she goes to the place where her two sons are hanging. No life. Lays a blanket, a sackcloth, as it were, so she can kind of get a little out of the weather or something, and she stays there for however long she stays there. And this is what she did. She suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. I guess I can read this. I may just break down, because it just smote me. If the love of a woman to her dead sons can make her prolong her mournful vigil for so long a period, shall we weary of considering the sufferings of our blessed Lord? She drove away the birds of prey, and shall not we chase from our meditations those worldly and sinful thoughts which defile both our minds and the sacred things upon which we are occupied? Away, ye birds of evil wing, leave ye the sacrifice alone. She bore the heat of summer, the night dews and the rains, unsheltered and alone. Sleep was chased from her weeping eyes. Her heart was too full to sleep. Behold how she loved her children. Shall Rezpah thus endure, and shall we start at the first little inconvenience or trial? Oh, this church is not important. I got other things to do. This woman stayed. We're more like the disciples. Christ went and he says, watch with me 1 hour. And he came back and they were sleeping. This woman stayed night and day. The birds and the beasts. There's a lot to fear. There's a lot going on. But her devotion to her dead sons. Shall we not show such devotion to our living Lord? Are we such cowards that we cannot bear to suffer a little with our Lord? She chased away even the wild beasts, and will we not be ready to encounter every foe for Jesus' sake? These her children were slain by others' hands than hers, and yet she wept and watched. What ought we to do who have by our sins crucified our Lord? Our obligations are boundless. Our love should be fervent and our repentance thorough. To watch with Jesus should be our business. To protect his honor, our occupation. To abide by his cross, our solace. Those ghastly corpses might well have affrighted Rizpah, especially by night, but in our Lord, at whose cross foot we are sitting, there is nothing revolting but everything attractive. Never was living so beautiful, so enchanting as a dying Savior. Jesus, we will watch with thee yet a while, and do thou graciously unveil yourself to us. Then shall we not sit beneath sackcloth, but in a royal pavilion. I cannot say it any better or clearer than that. I ask the Lord, may we be shown the Lord Jesus Christ in every text, whether it's this little text right here in Samuel or other texts. But may we not be content with only seeing Christ in the text, but may he cause us to believe Christ, to trust Christ, and adore Christ in word and deed. In word and deed. Again, I ask you, as I ask, as the Lord chew me up and spit me out, will this woman do such things for her dead sons? And can we not look and worship and adore and tell sinners, our neighbors, our friends, our family, can we not tell them about one who ever lives to make intercession for his people. Bruce, would you close us, please?